Cliff, let's talk also as we get into these seven major aspects of what you think they might be. Tell me about the evidence behind it. How did you come to your beliefs that these issues were caused by these particular seven items we talked about earlier?
Well, the first thing that I would want to clarify, George, is that I by no means regard this work of myself as well as countless others as a belief system. And that's not meant as any kind of slight. It's simply meant as clarification. A belief system, you know, is based upon something that we can't observe, but we might feel or think about something. This is not a belief system that is being spoken of here. This is a physical transformation of our planet using visible, observable, physical mechanisms. And so this is real.
Okay.
Is what I wish to say from my perspective. This is our reality that we are now subject to. And it is up to us to choose how we are going to deal with this reality. But our planet has been altered. In terms of, you know, my background and how I'm involved in this, my background is in the technical sciences. I was a geophysical scientist. I've spent a great deal of my time in the outside world. I was also a surveyor, and their skill is one of measurement. And certainly these are some of the skills and traits that I have brought to bear simply because that happens to be my aptitude. Others will choose what is in their forte, but my background is one of observation, analysis, assessment, research. I'm a computer consultant at this point, so I often am thinking in terms of system analysis and certainly logic, as well as many things that are certainly not linear in this world, and I'm very much aware of that. So, you know, that's how I approach this, is as an independent researcher, is as a citizen acting in the public interest to call attention to what I regard, and many others regard, as a criminal act upon the inhabitants of this planet by physically and deliberately altering the very air that we breathe without our consent. And it, from my perspective, it certainly has nothing to do with, really, personally, I'm not attached to it in terms of the emotional response. Certainly we have one.
Right.
I feel very strongly about this from an ethical and moral standpoint. But the work that I present is done primarily of that as an observer, a recorder, an analyst, and a researcher.
Have we found samples that have been tested? Has anybody?
I have spent a great deal of my time conducting environmental samples. Why did I do that? Because when this was brought to the attention of so-called authorities, when this was brought to the attention of environmental agencies, when this was brought to the attention of any government official, the issue was dismissed, the issue was ridiculed, the issue was attempted to be marginalized. When an investigation was called for, you know, go back in the records and we will see what happened. That was another part of my job, was to document the record of public activism requesting an investigation on this issue. That's all they wanted. They saw what was happening. They said, do your job. Tell us what's happening. They were slammed back with either no response at all or one of ridicule or denial. And the common response is, everything's normal. What are you worried about?
Clifford, what are your samples showing?
In my case, there would be about three or four main components. The first would be the metallic salts just seems to be across the board. And it's a curious class of metallic salt. It's not just any salt. If you look at the periodic table, there's in groups 1 and 2, there are elements there that are rather unique in their properties. And is there electromagnetic properties that are especially interesting? Salts such as salts made of barium, potassium, calcium, magnesium. These salts have a very interesting and unusual physical quality to them, and that is that they are subject to ionization with fairly low levels of energy, especially the energy that is inherent in sunlight alone. That's a remarkable physical quality that has tremendous and huge implications for the interpretation of what is likely going on with the introduction of these materials. So metallic salts are one dominant component, and if you look at my work, I'll go ahead and clarify this at this point. If somebody looks at my work, you will see a detection of or evidence and reports presented of unusual levels of calcium, magnesium, barium and potassium, with a special emphasis upon barium. I have probably written 24 papers on the barium issue. That is an extremely important element because of its toxicity. That is not a friendly element to our system in a soluble form. Another component would be that of a fiber. There is a filament that has repeatedly appeared. It is also most remarkable and unusual because of its properties. These filaments or fibers are submicron in size. To appreciate the scale, we mentioned submicron before, to appreciate the sense of scale, a human hair is roughly 60 to 100 microns thick. An asbestos fiber is a couple of microns. Bacteria would be on the order of, we'll call it 1 to 10 microns, and virus would be a submicron, this type of thing, somewhere in there. We're speaking of a submicron filament. Now, asbestos fibers are 2 microns in thick.
Mm-hmm.
Do most of us recall the attention given in this country to the environmental issues posed by the existence of asbestos in our environment?
Huge.
Many of us recall that. Okay. Would it not seem logical that if you had the repeated detection and presence presented, this is not something that somebody is conjecturing. These samples exist. These samples have been delivered by certified mail to the administrator of the United States Environmental Protection Agency requesting straightforward identification on behalf of the public welfare.
And we don't get that, do we?
We do not get that. As a matter of fact, the Environmental Protection Agency did not even acknowledge the physical existence of this sample.